Hey, go ahead and pull your phones out. If you got your phone on you, pull it out right now. I need to ask you to do something. We've never done this before, but we're going to do it today. If you watch that video and you agree with him that this is a conversation that needs to be had, especially in the church, that is supposed to be an instrument for unity, then we want to invite you to come. Richard actually said the wrong dates. He said this 27th and 28th. It's actually the 28th and the 29th. It's a Friday night and it's a Saturday morning. And we do these things called deeper weekends. And the reason why we do them is because most of you are millennials and I can't get you to commit to something for like 8 weeks in a row. And so rather than asking you to drive somewhere 8 Tuesday nights in a row, we're saying, let's just slam, jam, pack them all into one little weekend and you can do it, I promise. And so here's what I want you to do. If you are interested at all in being a part of the deeper weekend with us, with Richard Marks, one of my good friends, then just text the word deeper to that number right there, 614-383-8713. If you text the word deeper, you're not signing up. We're just going to send you the link to sign up. We're making it so abundantly easy for you, you crazy millennials that require me to do this, okay? So text that number. I'm going to send you some more information this afternoon about how to sign up for the deeper weekend. And Richard's coming all the way from Missouri, and we need to, as he said, turn up so that we can all have this conversation, all right? Hey, we're going to do something kind of cool real quick. I don't know if you know this, but we actually recently hired somebody. Her name is Erica Wallace. Yes. And we're going to introduce Erica and we're going to interview her and let you get to know her a little bit here in a couple of weeks. But because Erica is kind of stepping up into this role as both our kids director and our connections director, we have a couple people today that that we want to honor for what they have done for our church. Before I honor them, I should also tell you this. There are 11 other people who serve as directors on our Three Creeks leadership team that serve almost like a part-time job, and they do it totally for free. We have an unbelievable group of people who have launched this church, and two of them, because Erica's being hired, two of them are just kind of like, they're still going to be here, praise God, and they're still going to be serving probably more than anybody else here, but they're kind of stepping out of these, you know, director roles for the time being, and so while they do that, I just want to honor them. And so would Erica Jones and Abby Truslow come up here real quick? You guys, these people are amazing, and I can't tell you the amount of hours that they have put in to helping us start this church. And Morgan has some flowers for each of you guys. Why don't you hold them as just a small token of appreciation? You guys, Erica Jones, she launched our Three Creeks Kids entire program. I mean, You guys, hours, countless hours, building a team of almost 40 volunteers. We have 30 kids back there, like 28 of them are under 2 months old, it feels like. And you guys, it is a monumental task. When we interviewed and videoed a bunch of the volunteers, we just asked them, like, what is Erica, like, who is Erica Jones to you? And just person after person after person kept saying, it's the kindest person I've ever met. It's the most servant-hearted person I've ever met. I mean, Erica is amazing. And I have to tell you this too. When I told Erica, she was totally involved in the process of having Erica Wallace step into this role. When I said, hey, we're looking at maybe hiring Erica Wallace in this job, she said, oh, I've been praying for Erica Wallace to find a job. I mean, that's the kind of heart that is inside of Erica Jones. She's an unbelievable person and she's not going anywhere. Okay, we're gonna make her. You have to volunteer. You have to continue to volunteer. We're not letting you off the hook. And we just are so thankful for you. So can we give it up for Erica Jones together? And then Abby Truslow, she has served since day one as our connections director. I remember the first time I ever met Abby, we were at Pies and Pints. Shout out to Pies and Pints. And I said, Abby, like, what fuels you? What gives you life? What do you want to do? And she said, you know, I've been in some churches and it just feels like, people eventually just start to fall through the cracks. And it just hurt her. It hurt her that somebody could come in here and they would just not be remembered and not be met and fall through the cracks. And so Abby has essentially designed our entire program that helps follow up with people and helps people connect to our church. And so many of you who have joined teams, who have gotten into groups, who have just been here more often, so much of that is because Abby designed something that allowed us to help you not fall through the cracks. And so Abby's not going anywhere either. She remains married to James Truslow, so she's not allowed to leave. And she'll still serve on our connections team, but Erica's going to kind of take over some of those responsibilities. But I just want to just publicly just say thank you to both of you. Can we give it up for Abby? Just so thankful. And if you know anybody else who's in a director role in this church, who's giving 10, 15, 20 hours a week sometimes to serve, not getting paid a dime, it is a holy and worthy thing, and it's the right thing to do, but sometimes it is a grind. And so to say thank you to those people who are going to continue and to say thank you to these guys today would, I think, go a long way. Cool? Let's give it up for these guys one more time. Thank you guys so much. Some of you guys were there last week when we baptized 7 people in the creek. And in a second, I'm going to show you a video about that. While that video is playing, we're going to have what's called our time of giving. And, you know, we invite you to be a part of what God is doing here by contributing your finances to this, to our church, as we're on this mission to reach this city with the gospel. If you've been here, you've noticed I actually haven't talked about money very much. And I think it's because, you know, I never wanted to be a pastor because I just feel like there's this stereotype or reputation of a lot of pastors who just have their hand out and just want your money. And I've been so afraid of having that reputation that I've erred on the other side. I really haven't talked about money very much. We haven't done a series on giving at any point. It talks about it in the Bible a ton, but I just personally haven't chosen to talk about that. But I was having this conversation with somebody here in our church maybe 2 weeks ago, and I just kind of explained that I just don't want to be known as this guy who just always has his hand out and wants more from you. And he looked at me and he said, Joel, but you got to understand, like, it's actually one of my favorite ways to worship God. It's one of my favorite ways to worship God is to give financially. And I thought, man, that's true. I mean, it is a way that we are supposed to worship God and worship God with our finances, essentially saying, we know it's not ours, we know it's yours, and we give it back to you, Lord. And so I just to say, you know, if Three Creeks is your home church, and you are saying like that you are on the mission with us, then we invite you to give. There's really two ways to give. The first way is on Sunday mornings. We either pass giving baskets or sometimes we have giving stations in the back when we invite you to give on Sundays. And if you didn't, you know, if you don't have cash or don't have checks or whatever, the other way to give is online. If you go to threecreekschurch.com, there's a link there that says give, and we invite you to be a part of that. We think that it would bless your soul because God loves a cheerful and a generous giver. So while the baskets are being passed, we're going to watch a video for those of you who weren't there last week, or for those of you who were and want a reminder of what God did last week. Check out this video.
Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens me.
Hey, raise your hand if we should do that again, Church at the Creek. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. Well, hey, welcome to Vision Sunday. We've never had one of these before, and maybe you didn't even know it was Vision Sunday, but it's Vision Sunday, and we just thought, man, once a year, let's just have a conversation about what God has already done in our church and what we see that God wants to continue to do in our church. 364 days ago, one day short of a year, a bunch of us huddled in the basement of the river on September 10th, 2017, and we had our first launch team meeting. Raise your hand if you were there, actually. Yeah, look at you guys, man. We're still here. Can you believe it? We made it. That was a year ago, which is crazy to think about. And if you think back through what has happened over the past year, man, it is crazy. We've had 31 Sundays here in Goshen Lane, existing as a church, essentially for about 6 months or so. And today I want to have a conversation, and I want to reflect on our first year. I want to tell you a little bit about what God has done so far, and then I want to tell you what I really strongly believe that God is bringing us into in this next year. And I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I really do. Because listen, when you remember what God has done, it helps you believe in what God will do. When you reflect, when you remember what God has done, it helps you, it inspires you to believe in what God can do. And so let me just take you back. Let me tell you a couple things that have happened over the past year. The first, I'm just going to throw some numbers up here. Go ahead with that next slide. The first number, 90,000. You guys, when I was over at Movement Church, we were kind of trying to decide, how much do we feel like our church is going to contribute financially? And we felt like we were taking a huge leap of faith and saying, we believe that they're gonna contribute $90,000 to what God wants to do in Gahanna. This is what you guys gave in the first year. You guys gave $186,000. Can we praise God for that? Can we praise God for that? I'm gonna go quicker. You ready, Devin? Let's go quicker. The next one, wait a second. We missed two slides. You ready? Go back to the one that says 65. There we go, 65 people. You guys, 65 people were at our, that was our attendance, if you will, our first month in September at the river. And you guys, so since we have launched our church here, we are averaging 141 people. Can we praise God for that? Yeah? And one more. Look at this real quick. We have 105 people in this church serving on teams. Let's praise God for that too. Come on. The next one is the number five. We started out with five community groups as when we launched our church. And next week, we are starting community groups again. And if you're not in one, you got to get one because we now have 9 community groups. Can we praise God for that too? We're just going to keep it going. We're going to keep praising God here for a minute. Go to that number 15. You guys, we have had 15 people in this church in our first 6 months, essentially. We have had 15 people get baptized and publicly profess their faith in Christ. The next number is the number 239. That's how many people came to our launch Sunday. We had 239 people in here who heard about the love of God, and it was awesome. The next one is, I believe, the number 0. That is the number of Sundays that our band had an off week. Can we praise God for our amazing band? Oh my gosh. Never once do we come in here and do we not get to worship God together, and it is awesome. The next number up there is 800. You guys, last Christmas, we had like 75 people in our church, and we said that there's about 260 families in this school that they need a boost around Christmas time. They just need somebody to just help them out just a little bit. And so we challenged our 75 people to raise Christmas gifts, to donate Christmas gifts. And we threw a store. We called it the Goshen Lane Gift Shop. Last year, we set up all the presents in the cafeteria, and 75 families came through and shopped for their kids. And you guys, our church, only 75 people, donated 800 different gifts to Goshen Lane Gift Shop. Can we praise God for that for a second? That was, at the time, if I think about all this, that was at the time just so, it was so emotional for me to watch God provide through you guys. The next one, we had 500 or more people at Friday Funday just a couple of weeks ago, people from this neighborhood who figured out a little bit more about who we are and the mission that we're on. And then this one here, this is not I can't be totally sure about this figure, but it's an approximate number of the jars of peanut butter that we sorted last year whenever we did the food drive for Grin. It was around 3 billion of them, and it took us a long time. You guys, these are numbers. Numbers matter because numbers represent people, and people matter to God. But a lot of times when you just throw up numbers, it's like, okay, let me tell you some names. Let me attach some names to some of these numbers. Let me tell you some personal stories as to what God has done. A year ago on September 10th, we had no idea where we were going to have our Sunday morning services. We didn't know. We looked at 25 different places around Gahanna. We toured movie theaters. We toured wedding venues. We toured a bunch of other schools. We were almost locked into a couple different ideas. And then one afternoon, we had a conversation with Dwight and Donna Montgomery, who at that point, they didn't even know they were going to be in our church, but they are now. And we had this conversation, and we kind of shared our vision. Donna's been a teacher at Gahanna Lincoln High School for like 20 years or so. And so she knows this city. And we just said, you know, we want to be a church that serves this city. We just kind of shared our heart with her. And she said, you got to go check out Goshen Lane Elementary. And so the next week we came and we checked out this school, Goshen Lane Elementary, and we met the custodians and we met the principal, and it just seemed like everybody was on board. It was a good spot for us. Well, then we heard the price was going to be like three times as much as we wanted to spend. And so I went into a meeting with the office, the school office, the district office, and they said, this is, you know, about the price. And I said, how about like a third of that? And they said, okay. And you guys, the relationship that we have here, I talked to another pastor 9 days ago, and I asked him how much they spend on their rental facility every weekend. You guys, they spend five times as much as we do. The deal we have here is unheard of in the church planning world. And God, can we just praise God for that real quick? When we started this church, in those first couple meetings in the river, we wanted to initiate at the very end of our services we called it a prayer space. We just said we just want to give God room to move. We want to have people pray together. And I guess I don't know if I was clear enough or what happened there at the beginning, but it was kind of few and far between. Like not very many people were getting up, not many people were praying. And so we pulled back from it for a second. And then this summer, we just decided, man, we want to reinitiate that. That's too important to give up. Even if they don't want to do it, we're just going to keep doing it until they do. And you guys, we created this prayer team. We've got 20 people or so that are on a prayer team. And after every one of our services, we have them lined up for people that need prayer. And you guys, every week since we reinitiated that in July, there has been a line in the back of people waiting to come up and pray. And that is awesome. Can we praise God for that he's done that for us? Yeah. I sat down over a Chipotle burrito bowl with somebody, so you know this is going to be a win. I sat across from Zach Rojas. Does anybody here know Zach Rojas? You guys, I sat across from Zach Rojas, and I listened to him articulate how he has grown in his faith and how maybe April or in May, after church, he went and he prayed with Ben Jones right back there, and Zach fully committed his life to Jesus Christ here in Three Creeks Church. Is that not awesome? It is awesome. And this is the coolest part for me, is that Zach understands fully what God did for him. And then a lot of the conversation that we were having was about how Zach wants to go into the places that he works and into the groups of people that he belongs to. And he wants to share his hope that he has found in Christ with them. He's passionate about going and sharing his faith. Can we praise God for that? Is that awesome? There's a couple in here. Many of you guys know them. Their names are John and Laura. And 18 months ago, it was just clear that like their marriage had gotten to a point that neither of them had really ever imagined that it would get to. It was just hard. It was just a hard season. I mean, marriage can be hard anyways, but for them during this particular year, it was just tough. And you guys, through a renewed commitment to Christ, a renewed commitment to the church, and through friendships and a community group in this church, their love for God has been reignited. Their love for one another has been reignited. And just 7 days ago, they were baptized together in the creek. Can we praise God for that? How about this one? One day I walked, I was either standing there or right out there, and a couple walked up to me. I'm going to keep their names a secret because I don't want to rob them of their heavenly rewards. But they came up to me and they said, "Hey, Joel, this is tough for us to do. It's been something that God has been asking us to do for a couple of weeks now, and we just got to tell you something." And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And they said, we just feel strongly that God is asking us to give our car away. I said, give our car away. Like, we don't need it. Like, somebody else might need it. And we just feel strongly that God wants us to give it away. So I'm going, I'll see if there's anybody that needs a car, And so I go back and I'm talking with Morgan. And Morgan had been on our prayer team for the past 2 weeks in a row. And someone had come up to her and they had said, we're in a tough season. Like, we're just struggling. We need a boost. And we trust that God will provide. And that's why I'm up here praying, that God would provide. Like, we're going to trust that. But just times are tougher. And so we were able to connect one family who wanted to be obedient to God and give something away, and another family who was trusting in God's provision. We were able to connect them. And you guys, they gave their car to another family in this church. That's what the church is supposed to be like. Can we praise God for that? That's what the church is supposed to be like. Where we just share stuff, we just give stuff, we're just generous, we trust God's provision, and oftentimes the provision is somebody else in our life that has the thing that we are looking to be provided. That's the way it's supposed to go. You guys, if you remember what God has done, it can help you believe in what God can do. And so when I look to the next year, I am jacked. I mean, I am expectant, I am eager, and I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen. I've got one passage of scripture that I want to walk us through today, but let me just set it up with this. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out now. We're going to use them in just a minute. Let me just tell you a couple things that are on the calendar coming up first, and I'll explain to you what's even more important that's what's on our calendar in a second. But, in a couple weeks, we're having this deeper weekend, and I'm truly passionate about you coming to that. I think it's going to be awesome. In October, on the 12th, we're going to have another worship night, which everybody here loves to be a part of, and so we'll send you some more details on that soon. At the end of October, we're partnering with Gehenna for their event called Creepside, and we're going to throw this huge pumpkin painting party for all those kids, and you get to dress up in whatever you want to dress up as. I know some people are kind of like nodding inside, like, I can't wait for that day. And so that's going to be great. In November, we asked Melanie, we said, hey, what's a one way that we could serve your school in the month of November? She said, there's tons of kids that come here that don't have coats. What if you did a coat drive? And so we're just going to ask you guys to just bring a bunch of kids' coats in November and just bless this school. In December, we're taking 10 people to Africa, which is going to be awesome. And we're going to try to plant a church and share the gospel in Africa. And then we're going to change it from Goshen Lane Gift Shop to Gehenna Gift Shop, because I have a sneaky suspicion that God wants this thing to be bigger than we ever thought that it was going to be. And so I have some meetings even this week trying to figure out how big we can make this, how many families can we serve in this city. And so we've got these things that are lined up, and I was praying over the past 3 weeks. I'm just going, Lord, like, what else is new for our church? What's next for our church? Like, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to believe in? What do you want us to pray for? And I say this very carefully, and I say this very thoughtfully. I really feel like God spoke to me on this one. I really feel like God gave me something to share with you guys today. And I don't say that flippantly, and I try not to say that too often so that you take me seriously. And I guess, I was thinking about this. I'm like, I guess I can't be like 100% sure because I didn't hear like the audible voice of God. But a lot of times when I sense that God is speaking to me, there's two things that I do. There's one thing, I go, does it line up with scripture? Does it line up with the things that God has already said? And I thought, yes, like, this lines up with what God is saying. And then I think to myself, do I have more peace in sharing it or more peace ignoring it? And I have way more peace in my soul in sharing this with you. And so I trust that this is what God wants for us for this next year. God, I said, what do you want for our church? And he said this to me, and I'm just relaying it to you. He said, if you choose to follow me wholeheartedly, I want to do more than you expect that I will. If you choose to follow me, then I want to do more than what you expect I will do. You know, and we have these things lined up. We have these things in our calendar. We have these, you know, events that we have scheduled out. And what I sense that God was asking me to do is, Joel, don't focus so much on the things that you have planned. I want to do more. I want to do more than that. I want to do things that you don't expect. I want to do things that you don't have planned. I want to do things that you have not predicted will happen. I want to do more. I want to do more, but you got to choose to follow me. This is what I sense that God was telling me, and what I'm just kind of relaying to you, that if we choose to follow God, that I believe that God wants to do more than we think that he will outside of our calendar, outside of what we have planned. Because listen, if we get to the point in our church where everything is planned and everything can be predicted, we don't expect anything unusual or unexpected from God, I'm not into that. I don't think that is all that God has for us. You with me on that? Nod your head if you're with me on that. Like, if we get to the point where everything is our idea and it all has to fit into our calendar, I just think there's more that God has for us than that. I think that God wants to do more than we can plan and imagine in our brains. So I said, God, you know, you say you want us to follow you. I said, how? Like, in what specific way do you want me, Joel, to follow you? In what specific way do you want our church to follow you? What steps can we take? And he said to me, Joel, I want you to remind your church what the purpose of their lives is. It's to tell their friends about Jesus. It's to tell their friends about Jesus. And I said, God, I already preached about that. He said, I want you to tell them again. And I said, God, you don't want me to talk about like buying a building? Seems like bigger vision. You don't want me to talk about going to two services? You don't want me to talk about, you know, having cold brew all year? Like, this is big vision. You know, you don't want me to talk about that, God? He said, Joel, I just want you to talk about the purpose of their lives. It's to tell people about Jesus. I get it, you guys, I get it. I get it that that's hard for some reason. Like, to go and engage somebody, listen, in a conversation about your faith is hard. To start a conversation about God with somebody who doesn't believe in God today in our culture is hard. I don't know why all the time, but it just is. We can be honest about that. It's tough. We don't want to come off as religious. We don't want to come off as self-righteous. And then you kind of come to a message like this, and I've shared this a few different times, that this is the purpose of your life, is to tell people about Jesus. And a lot of times we can just walk out of here kind of hanging our heads going, man, I'm not good at that. Not very good at that. Probably should do that. Thanks for the reminder. And we go home, we just feel guilty. We feel like it's something that we should do, but we just don't have a ton of confidence to do. And so we just feel like we're not good enough Christians. And some of us too have tried and we're discouraged. You know, you've tried to share your faith with somebody that you work with or somebody in your family, and it just didn't land. It just didn't go well. And so you're just discouraged and you're kind of going, I don't know if I want to try that again. And you go home and you feel guilty, and you either do one of two things. You either, one, just kind of hope the feeling goes away, or two, you share your faith, but it's motivated entirely by guilt of not doing it, because it's probably something you should do if you want to be a good Christian. I want to flip the narrative for a minute. I want to flip the narrative, and I want to explain to you why feeling guilty to tell your friends about Jesus is the opposite of the way that we should be going about this. I want to answer this question for you this morning. Why? Why tell our friends about Jesus? Why? What should motivate us to go home and to tell somebody about Jesus? Here's the answer. It's because this is the answer for me, and I think it can be the answer for you. It's because I have hope. It's not because I feel guilty. It's because I have hope. I have hope. I've been thinking to myself all week, how does somebody navigate through this life? How does somebody make it through their days on this earth without having hope in Jesus and in heaven? How does somebody do that? How does somebody go through this world with this disease, these sicknesses, the accidents, the abuse, everything you see in the news? How do you make it through this life without having hope that this isn't all that there is? I went to a shot clinic the other day to get my shot so that I can go to Burkina Faso and not come back cross-eyed or something. Got to get my vaccinations. And so I went in there and I sat down And there's a woman that she just seemed joyful. She just seemed like she had something that most shot givers don't have. And I also sense that she wanted to talk about something. She wasn't just like, get in, let me get your shots and get out. She was trying to start the conversation. So I was like, you know, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about God. And so I just kind of engage her in this conversation. And well, for 30 minutes, she starts to just tell me about her life. And she starts to tell me about how hard it is. And she said that her husband was diagnosed with a disease, and it was a terminal illness, and he died. And that her grandson was 21 years old, and 3 years ago, he took his own life. And now her son, who was the grandson's father, he's in the darkest season of his life. And meanwhile, she's trying to hold it all together. She's trying to hold her family together. And I'm just sitting there going, man, this is heavy. This is so hard. I said, what's getting you through this? And she said, God is. My hope in heaven is. That's what she said. She said, my hope in heaven is getting me through this. I'm longing for something that's after this life. I said, that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that it would be hope in God that would be sustaining you through this tough round, man. It's a tough round. I sat in a circle with all of our directors up at Beulah Beach. We did this little leadership retreat last week, and for 2 hours and 45 minutes, every single person on our team just kind of shared something that's going on in their life, something that they wanted prayer for. We just went around the circle, and everybody shared what God has been doing and what they're struggling with. And you guys, it just went around, and everybody in the whole circle was dealing with something that's tough, like hard stuff. Stuff that hurts. Stuff within their families that hurts. And we kind of just tied a bow on at the end and go, like, if we don't have hope in Jesus, what are we doing this for? You know, like, how does somebody make it through this life without hope? And I walked away from my conversation with Susan, this awesome nurse who has hope in God. And I just went, you know, that's what should motivate me to tell my friends about Jesus. It's this hope that I have that this isn't it, that this isn't the end, that I have hope in heaven, that I have hope that there's a way to get there, that I have hope that Jesus is the way to get there, and that I have hope in something. I'm not going to struggle and just try to figure out a way to get power and prestige now, because I know this thing is just short, and one day it's going to be over, and I'm hoping in something that's far beyond what we are experiencing right now. If you have your Bibles, I want to take you to a couple of verses. There's a guy in the Bible named Peter. Maybe you've heard of him, and maybe you haven't. And if you haven't, that's okay. You guys, Peter was Jesus's closest confidant. For 3 years, as Jesus walked around and taught and did miracles and gained a following, you guys, Peter was the guy that was the closest to him. When Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter was leading the charge. I mean, he was preacher number one. If there were mega churches, he would have had one. I mean, he was the guy who was spreading the gospel more than anybody at that time. You guys, but Peter, it wasn't easy. I mean, Peter died for his faith in Christ. And in our Bibles, we have two letters that Peter wrote. And he wrote them to every Christian that would read it. And so go to 1 Peter. It's towards the back of your Bible. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. Just go back a couple of pages. There's a 1 Peter and there's a 2 Peter. And we're going to be in 1 Peter. You guys, this was a letter that was written by Jesus' closest confidant. And he articulates, I think, a lot better than I can, the reason for the hope that we have. And so I'm going to start in verse 3. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through the whole thing once. And then I'm going to go back through real quickly and just kind of explain what God is really saying through this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, look, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Look, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You guys, the first thing that Peter said, I'm just going to walk you through this, and we're just going to kind of interact with it together. I'm going to explain what some of this stuff means. And I think it's going to articulate far better than I can the reason for the hope that we have. The first thing Peter says is, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You guys, the first thing he does is he praises God, even though he's about to die for God. He's about to be killed, and he praises God. Why? Because God saw us far away from him, saw us separated from him by our sins, and in his great mercy, he said, I got to provide a way back, and so he gave us a new birth into a what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, meaning this, that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, and because he didn't stay in the grave, we can now have new life just like Jesus had new life, and we can have hope. We can have a living hope because Jesus didn't stay in the grave. And look at verse 4. Look what else we get because of God's mercy. He gives us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about a paradise that won't perish, meaning it's never going to go away. He's talking about heaven that's not going to spoil, meaning that it's always going to stay good, it's not going to get bad, and it's not going to fade. Like, it's not going to become something that we're used to and something that becomes normal. It's always going to be indescribably awesome to be with God. This is the inheritance that we have coming up. You guys, we have hope. We have hope. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Verse 5, who through faith, watch this, look at this, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Meaning that until Jesus comes back, that while we're here, through faith, God's power shields us. Meaning he wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us. He is for us so that while we're here, we don't have no one that we can call on, but God wants to come and intervene. So while we wait for heaven, while we wait for this moment where we're going to be in heaven forever with God, while we're here, it's going to be okay because God is for us and he wants to protect us and provide for us. Now look at verse 6. It changes again. He starts talking about something else because in verse 6, look, he says, in all this, you greatly rejoice. We do. We rejoice in what God has done for us and what is coming up and the fact that until what is coming up comes, that we have God's protection. In this, we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Trials come, verse 7, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You guys, look at what matters. Look at what Peter is saying matters. He's saying that your faith matters. He's saying that gold is going to perish. Gold's the most valuable thing in the world at this point. Gold is going to perish. Your houses are going to perish. Your cars are going to perish. Your popularity is going to perish. Your careers are going to perish. It's all going to go. You don't get to take it with you to heaven, but your faith, it counts. Your faith matters, and in the end, it's all that matters. Your faith matters. In the end, it's all that matters. And so we go through some of these things in our lives. We go through some of these trials in our lives so that we could prove to God that our faith is real. It's not just something that we grab onto when we like it. It's something that we really believe in. Look at verse 8. This is an easier one to understand. I think it'll make sense to you. Look at verse 8. Though you've not seen him, he's talking about Jesus, though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Has anybody seen Jesus, like with their own eyeballs? I have not. And if you have, we should talk. That would be cool. Do you see him right now? Do you see Jesus Christ right now with your own eyes? I don't. But look, look at verse 8. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And if you love him and if you believe in him, you're filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy. Why? Why would we be filled with joy because we love and believe in Jesus? Because he's going to make us healthy and wealthy now? Is that what would make us joyful? If we had good health and more money? And God's saying, no. God's saying, I got way bigger plans than that. I'm not talking about this short life. You kidding me? If I gave it all to you now, it would just be gone like that. You'd be mad at me. God goes, I've got way bigger plans. The reason that you can have inexpressible and glorious joy is verse 9. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's why we have an inexpressible and a glorious joy. It has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has everything to do with the fact that one day we will be saved. You guys, this is the hope that I have. This is the motivator for me to go and tell somebody else because, again, I don't know how to navigate through this life without hope. And then I thought to myself, how do people go through this life without hope in heaven? How do people get through? And I thought, I know how to get through. I figured it out. I know how to get through. They do things that make them feel good for like an hour. And they wake up the next morning and they feel empty again. There's this chasm in them that cannot be filled with anything other than faith in God. And so they just try to shove stuff on top to make themselves feel better. And then they get to the next day and they go, I feel empty again. So I figured out how people try to get through. But I'm going, I know something that can fill that chasm right now and fill it every day for you for the rest of your life. And then at the end of your life, you get this inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. I'm going, this is as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets. We have hope in Jesus. We have hope in heaven. So let me ask you, do you know anybody in your life that needs some hope? Do you know anybody who's just trying to put Band-Aids on this pain in their life who needs a little bit more hope, a little bit more eternal hope? Do you know anyone? Does a name come to mind of somebody in your family or where you work or where you spend your time? Is there anybody's name that comes to mind? You go, that person doesn't have hope in heaven. Is there anybody that needs to know what Jesus did for them? You guys, that's what should motivate us to tell people about Jesus. It shouldn't be this guilty feeling because here's why it shouldn't be the guilty feeling. Because if you go and you tell somebody about Jesus because you feel guilty if you don't, you are focusing entirely on what you have to do for God. And when you go and you share your faith out of hope, out of this, I have this thing and I just can't hold it in, like, you need some hope too. Well, then if we share our faith in that way, it's because we're focusing entirely on what God has done for us. And this is the gospel. Not that we need to do things to earn Jesus' love, but that Jesus loved us anyways. You guys, we have hope because of this. And so, listen, if there is an empty chair next to you, if there is an empty chair next to you, is there anybody in your life that needs to hear the hope of what Jesus did for them? We want to fill these chairs with people who need to hear about hope. If you go out to your car in a minute, and you're going to run probably because it's going to be raining, but if you just glance for a second, is there a parking lot space next to your car that is empty? And if so, is there anybody in your life that you could invite to come and hear about the hope that we have in Jesus? Because I don't know how to get through this without hope. This is tough. We're getting beat up, man. The best way to go through it is with hope. It's with hope. And so, you know, some of you guys asked why we didn't do the tables anymore. We've had tables in here. Well, that eliminates like 50 chairs in here. And I wanted you to see a bunch of empty chairs because I know that you know people who need some hope. And I'm not, if you leave guilty, you've missed the whole message. If you leave like, oh man, Joel's, you know, coming at us again with this stuff, you've just missed the whole thing. I'm just telling you, I have hope. I have hope in heaven. I have hope in Jesus. I know many of you guys do too. And if we do, and if we think about that for long enough, I don't think it's going to be able to stay inside. I don't think it's going to be able to stay inside. It's just going to kind of burst out of you because of what God did for us. So God said to me, if you choose to follow me, if you choose to follow me, I want to do more than you expect that I will do. And I said, God, how? What steps do you want us to take? He said, I want you to tell your friends about Jesus. I want you to tell your friends about hope. I want you to tell them the purpose of their lives is to spread hope. And God said he was going to do more than he expected us to do. Outside of the things that we have planned, outside of the things that we have lined up. The things that we have lined up will be great. We want you to be there. We're going to trust God's going to use them. But what I think God is wanting to do is outside of those things. It's the things that aren't on our calendar yet. Don't you want to see what happens? Don't you want to see it happen? Wouldn't your faith be buoyed if you saw God do something that you didn't expect him to do because you were just obedient in something really little and trying to talk about Jesus to somebody, just inviting them to church? Man, I want to be a part of that. And so for this next year, I just want us all to be messengers of hope. If you believe in Jesus and you believe in heaven and you believe in where we're going, man, if you think about that long enough, it's not going to be able to stay inside of you. Come on, let's go. God, or let's pray. God, thank you. God, thank you for hope. Thank you, God, that I'm not just, I can endure this life. I can make it through because I know where I'm going. I know what you did. I know where I'm going. And so I can kind of take a hit here and there. And God, you want to protect me. You want to shield me with your power while I'm here. And so I'm thankful. I'm hopeful. I know this is the best way to live this life. And God, if there's anybody in my life that you bring to my mind over the next couple of days or couple of weeks that doesn't have as much hope as I have, God, would you just give me boldness to share why I have hope? Just pray that I could fulfill the mission of my life in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.